Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network. I drink it up.
Welcome to the Bag Pod, everyone. Today we will be focusing mostly on movies. We've got the one of the L.A. correspondents, Los Angeles correspondents, Jake, with us. Jake, what's up?
Hey, you sound very, very professional there. The movies and whatnot, huh?
Yeah, I mean, hey, we can't keep it. We got to keep a nice sheen on the podcast, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Enough of professionalism here. I gotcha.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the other movie gurus, if you will, and Joe Dog, as he likes to be called for some odd reason, will not be in attendance tonight, but I'm sure we'll hear what they thought about the Oscar winners, or at least their best movies of 2011, sometime later this week in some articles. But, yeah, I don't know. Let's hop right into this here. Seeing as how Jake lives in Los Angeles, I was wondering, I guess some people don't know, I live in Texas, so, you know, I'm a little far away from Los Angeles and that whole scene. But I was basically wondering how Los Angeles sort of changes leading up to the Oscars, if, like, there are crazy campaigns and stuff for some of the movies and actors and stuff, and why not go to our LA man Jake here to inform us on what's going on out there.
That's not a news program. You can just ask me the question outright, right?
Nope.
I love that intro, though. I appreciate that. No, I mean, like, you know, with any industry in a town, you're going to see billboards of, you know, whatever the driving force is. And you definitely see, like, you know, for your consideration billboards, which is kind of interesting, you know, considering I have no say in what's going to win the Oscar. But I do appreciate seeing those. But for the most part, you know, you just get the table talk everywhere. It's just what occupies everybody's time. Mm-hmm. Like, where are you going to watch the Oscars? Who do you think's going to win? Because most of the time, people have some sort of stake in who won, you know, because if your boss wins it, you're gonna be getting more jobs or bigger jobs and that sort of thing.
And you're gonna get to party real hardy afterwards.
Yeah, you're gonna get to go eat a little Wolfgang Puck cuisine, probably.
Delicious. Do they usually re-release the Oscar-nominated movies that have since been out of theaters?
Yeah, totally. Do they not do that? I thought they do that everywhere.
No, usually, I mean, I've lived in a somewhat small town in Charlottesville, and then Austin is the biggest place I've lived in, and usually they don't re-release anything that's already left the theater during Oscar time, unless
No, listen to this. It is the most annoying time for film in this town, because they re-release all these movies that you've already seen, because everybody gets them, they get screeners, so there's screener parties, you go and watch them, and you've seen everything.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, it's nice to be able to walk past a marquee and see, like, I've seen everything. But on the second hand, you know, as for, like, a filmophile like myself, you know, I need to get my fix, and there's nothing there for me.
And you're just like, I don't know if I can do Moneyball for the fourth time.
I'm not going to go there. Yeah. Well, yet. I mean, for the most part, LA, the best part about LA during the Oscar season, especially Oscar night, is that the whole town shuts down. And, for those of us who have learned how to use our DVR, we can tape the ceremony if we want to watch it. Uh-huh. And we can go out in the town and do whatever we want. So I go to the movies, you know, cause before the Oscars, there's some older or newer movies that are in there, you know, before they announce the winners. And then there's also, like, nobody there. So you can just show up. It's great.
So basically what you're saying is Oscar night is the only night where you can get from one end of the town to the other in about 10 minutes.
Exactly. No traffic. It's great.
All right. Well, hopefully at some point I will join you out in L.A. to witness all these Oscar shenanigans.
I hate the Oscar time. It's great, but I love it. I love it. No, sorry.
I don't think anyone really likes the Oscars in general, except for the people that are nominated. So
I just meant like all the like self ingratiating kind of people you get in contact with during that.
Of course.
But anyway, moving on. Should we talk about the best picture?
Yeah. Let's just hop right into the winners here. Starting off with best picture.
The artists.
Let me say first off, do they usually? I mean, the best director category isn't really a category, is it? Don't they usually just give it to the best film as well?
I wouldn't be able to speak on that. I couldn't think of another year where they didn't do that, but
I feel like that's usually the par for the course.
Usually, I think it pushes it to the director because they're. Picture was the best. It would just kind of make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So I'm just wondering why they feel as though they need to award the director a best Oscar if they're just going to give his movie the best Oscar anyway. In any case, best picture winner, The Artist. I was telling Jake before the podcast that I've only seen about half an hour of this, but
hopefully
I think
it's the last half hour because then you've seen everything you need to see in the movie.
Well, I think I can generally. It was only the first half hour, but I think I can generally get the gist of where we're going here with The Artist. If any of you read Will's impressions, I guess on the website, you know he was not a particular fan of it. Jake, what do you have to say about The Artist?
I actually liked The Artist, but it, you know, it's a really simple movie. There's not a lot of like, you know, supporting characters in there that have any real like dimension to them, which I think may be a testament to just the format of no sound. That might just be too difficult to really develop. I'm not really sure, but the cinematography is fantastic. Jean Dujardin is fantastic in it too, and it's very visually nice. You know, it's a nice, fun movie to watch. And the fact that you can have audiences in 2011 that aren't necessarily familiar with silent films going to watch this and enjoying it, I think says something.
I don't know. For me, I was kind of. I mean, I didn't really know anything about it before sitting down to watch it. I guess I could have guessed that it was a. It was supposed to be a 1920s piece as well. But I was kind of hoping, or I think it would have been cool if they had done a silent movie, but, like, set in today, almost. I don't know why they would have done that, I guess, you know, because clearly imitation is what the Oscars and Hollywood really, really likes at the moment. But I don't know, I think if they had, like... It would have been just really cool if they had like been able to set a story in today, done it silent, like even had like some crazy, crazy computer graphics or something too, but it was still in black and white. Like I don't know, for some reason I think that would have been much cooler than just like that. Just like, all right, yeah, we're just gonna make it look exactly like something you'd see in the 1920s.
See, now we're speculating because you. I mean, I don't know if you know. Transformers would have been any better in black and white and silent.
I'm not saying it would have been better. Could have been maybe a little more interesting, perhaps.
I'm just trying to think of like the most technological, you know, movie that came out. Actually, if you watch Colbert yesterday, he put it in black and white to show you how much better it would have been, nice. Which is actually it's really funny. And but I don't know. I think if you're a director and your last name is Hazana Vicious, they're just going to give you every award possible because that is the coolest name I've ever heard.
That might be the winning strategy indeed. Generally, you felt as though The Artist deserved the win. Did you think it was the best movie, at least, of the nominees?
I don't know. I really... think it's like to look back and say, oh, The Artist won that year, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good picture. I really like The Descendants as well, but I don't know if I would have felt like, oh, The Descendants year, it didn't feel like it truly deserved it.
It wasn't as big of a, I don't know, publicized snub as say last year's Social Network, which I mean it was a good movie and but the hubbub for it losing to to King's speech was huge, you know. So this doesn't seem like a year where someone's going to be like, oh, my God, Hugo just should have run away with it. I can't believe Hugo didn't win, you know.
Yeah. No, yeah, you know, honestly, I think it was a year of a lot of mediocre productions that were put out there, and the only one that really stands out to me in this list, other than The Artist, would be Midnight in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not even one of Woody Allen's best, so it's hard to say whether that should have won it, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I definitely agree that on the, as a whole, at least for the nominees, they were all, the ones I saw at least, were all fairly, they were all solid, but unspectacular to me. So, yeah, I definitely agree that most of them were, like, really good, really solid movies, but nothing that was just going to knock your socks off or anything.
Definitely. Did you have any other strong opinions?
I mean, if you've read any of my reviews on the website, I have no clue why War Horse was even nominated, because that movie was just...
It's because it was bad. It was produced by Kathleen Kennedy and directed by Steven Spielberg. I mean, the thing that most people found wrong with this year's Oscars, I mean, part of it being so boring was because everybody knew who was going to win. There's like, in Hollywood, there was absolutely no question who these winners were going to be. Everybody knew that The Artist was going to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is because of what happens behind the scenes with Harvey Weinstein is like one of these prolific producers that people kind of, you know, hate, and you kind of love to hate him. You know, he definitely brings out all these fantastic films, but I hear he's got to be difficult to deal with. But
he gets a lot of hate respect. It's like, oh God, I hate him, but you're like, oh, you got to respect him though, because he's
kind of. Shits. Well, because you don't know. I mean, like the methods he uses behind the scenes are supposedly kind of shady, and they get results because it just kind of like brings to the surface the fact that this is a business, and to get to an Oscar is a political. You need political campaigns and strategies, and you know he's a good strategist.
Yeah,
he's the Karl Rove of Hollywood.
That's not good.
Yeah, maybe that's not a fair comparison.
All right, well, before we move from the best pictures, are there any, did you see any that you thought, any movies from the year that you thought deserved to be nominated over War Horse? No, I mean, just deserve to be part of the nominees.
See, no, honestly, no, I don't think so. I thought this year was fairly mediocre.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I don't go to nearly as many movies as you, or probably the most of the other people on in the movie staff, if you will, on In the Bag. But the ones that I did see, I would say that.
Sorry, I just had a thought. I didn't realize that Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy was not nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people disliked it, but I thought it was fantastic. I thought it should have been nominated for Best Picture for sure. I don't think it should have won, but I thought it should have been nominated.
There's I've not seen that either, but I wanted to go see it, and I heard that it was quite good. Mr. Gary Oldman was nominated for his leading role appearance in the movie. Before we move from Best Picture, though, I would like to ask, I suppose, there's a lot of hubbub, there's a lot of, I don't know, just kind of, not anger, but maybe disappointment in the fact that Harry Potter was not nominated, considering, I mean, at least considering for the lifetime achievement sort of thing, where all the movies, all eight of them, were at least solid, if not pretty good. How do you feel about this sort of
trend? Yeah, well, it sounds like you have a pretty strong opinion here.
Well, no, not really. I've just been reading a bunch of random blogs, a bunch of articles online and stuff saying that there seemed to be like people pissed off that Harry Potter never was at least nominated. Any of the Harry Potters were at least never nominated for Best Picture.
Well, I mean, think they pretty much occupied a decade of you know, film entertainment, of all sorts of entertainment. You know, now there's like the world of Harry Potter. Like, it's such a part of what 2000 to 2012 was, you know?
Yeah. So do you feel as though, I mean, I didn't see the movie. Do you feel as though it should have at least garnered a nomination simply because it was so big of a thing, and the movies actually were fairly good for the most part as a whole, or...
I don't think that that's ever a good enough reason to be nominated. But then again, you get something like The Blind Side, which was nominated mm-hmm. for Best Picture last year, which certainly didn't deserve it. And if anything, for just for the saga of Harry Potter, if we're comparing the final one, I don't know. That's a tough one because I'm divided on this because I think an individual picture in a series should be able to be nominated and not have to wait through an entire, to the completion of the entire saga,
mm-hmm.
if that makes mm-hmm. sense. I know I'm tripping over myself. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I mean, basically what you're saying is you don't feel as though any of the movies sort of deserve to be nominated in any of the years, and the fact that people are kind of upset that the last one wasn't even nominated, just as a point, whereas...
Oh, no, well, no, I don't think that. I think it's fantastic feat of filmmaking, and they were all pretty solid. I personally found the third one, directed by Alfonso Cuarón, to be the best out of the bunch, and I thought it was fantastic, but I definitely don't see any of them as a Best Picture candidate. But, I mean, I guess it could have just been, like, a nice thing to put it in that category and just be like, hey, it's up there for you for respect, but, you know.
Well, yeah, I think
we're not going to give it to you.
I think a lot of this is coming from, as well, the Lord of the Rings trilogy being nominated in the earlier part of the 2000s, where all three of those movies were actually nominated, or at least the first one and the third one were nominated, and they felt as though, I think a lot of people feel as though because they had been nominated throughout, the first two were nominated or whatever, and they gave it to the third one just because it was kind of like, well, they deserve something sort of thing. I feel like that's in the back of everyone's minds where it's like, yeah, you know, they were good, and the main reason why it won was because, or the Return of the King won was because the first two were good, and they wanted to award the entire series. So I think that's where a lot of this sort of Harry Potter not even getting a nomination is kind of like a slap of the spit in the face in the Harry Potter franchise because it's been such a big thing. But I mean, I don't really care. I'm not a big Harry Potter fan. So
yeah, I honestly, I don't care. I think people they whine too much a little bit, okay. To be honest.
Fair enough. All right. Let's move to the actors, the winning actors, if you will, actors and actresses. We've got Jean Dujardin for The Artist winning. Do you think that's justified? I don't. I think the only other person that I've seen in a movie that was nominated was Brad Pitt in Moneyball, and he was good but not great. So
he was Brad Pitt, I thought.
Yeah. Exactly.
Actor in a leading role. Yeah, I did not see A Better Life. I didn't see that, but that one looks like it was really, really good. The only ones that I saw and had a really strong connection to were, I thought George Clooney was fantastic in The Descendants.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very, very good. Jean Dujardin was, he was great. He kind of like gave off this Gene Kelly kind of vibe.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's hard to judge when there's no dialogue happening. He was so over the top, and you know, he was acting up the times
mm-hmm.
that it's a completely different style of acting, and maybe that's what he won it for, was a testament to being able to just embody that time period.
Well, it seems as though also that if he wasn't good, the movie would have just been completely crap, you know? Like, it seems to sort of hinge on the performance of him as the main character. And if not for him, then, you know, the movie would not be nearly as good. So I feel like that's got to bump him up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I think he deserves it. I think he does. And everybody knew he did, so.
How about Gary Oldman in Tinker Tailor?
He's great, but it's a very understated role. It's very calculated and slow, but I wouldn't say that he was any better than all the other, you know, actors in that movie. There are a lot of people that could have been qualified as the leading or one of the leading roles in that movie that were just as good as him, I thought.
Okay. Let's move over to actress now.
I will say Gary Oldman, it's crazy that this is his first nomination because he is friggin' incredible.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
he is a force to be reckoned with.
He's awesome. He is awesome for sure. Especially in the movie Book of Eli. In any case, let's move over to the actresses here. This is probably the most disputed of all the winners, with Meryl Streep getting it for The Iron Lady. Yet another win for an actor completely just imitating a real-life person. If you've read any of the Oscar retrospectives we put up last week, you'll see, especially in the female category, that most of the wins seem to come for women acting like, you know, real people. You know, basically doing the best imitation possible of a real human being. So I don't know. what do you think?
I mean, a lot of people out here, especially Nikki Fink, if you read her blog Deadline Hollywood, which is kind of an industry standard out here, she went on a pretty long riff about how most people believe that Viola Davis should have won it for The Help.
Mm-hmm.
She was really good. I actually never saw The Iron Lady. It's been sitting on my DVD player for the last 2 months, and I just haven't been interested enough to watch it from all the reviews I hear, and maybe that's my own shortcomings. But, I mean, any time Meryl Streep wins, you can't really argue, you know? You're like, oh, Meryl Streep won? Okay, yeah, because she always brings
the... Whatever,
you know,
yeah, she brings the thunder. She brings the thunder every time.
That's right. Meryl the Thunder Streep, I believe, is what
exactly.
She is.
I remember watching, I mean, with you, in fact, in L.A. when I came to visit, I remember watching another Meryl Streep vessel, Julie and Julia, which you, I, and I believe your girlfriend was the third person, if not her, someone else, I can't remember who it was. We all tried to watch that one sunny afternoon, and I believe we all fell asleep in the middle of it.
I forgot. Yeah.
I feel as though The Iron Lady might be somewhat reminiscent of that, where Meryl Streep did a great job, but the movie itself was kind of disappointing.
That's kind of what I get. And maybe this is some trade over from that Julie and Julia episode where I really enjoyed what she did with it, but I couldn't care less about the story.
Yeah. I felt Viola Davis definitely acted the pants off in The Help. I thought she was really good. I'm not going to say very much because I went into it at length in my Help review, how good she was, I believe. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's Meryl Streep. What can you do, you know?
Yeah, and let's not forget Glenn Close was a man in Albert Nobbs. She was...
Well,
I don't know. But I
perhaps she should have been nominated for actor in a leading role, then.
Yeah. Fair enough. Should we move on to Christopher Plummer?
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't really have any strong feelings about this. The nominees look pretty weak. I saw Moneyball Warrior and Extreme Loud and Incredible Close. Nick Nolte, I think he just acted like himself in Warrior. Like,
really? I thought he was great in Warrior.
I mean, he was good, but his character was just so cliched, and he was so marble-mouthed. I don't know. I mean, it was kind of... I mean, he did a pretty good job, but...
Can you unpack that marble mouth for us? Very nice. That was very good. You should have played the father.
I know. Yeah. Just put some talcum powder in my hair, and I'll look like I'm 80, right?
Okay, so you're basing this on the three movies that you saw in this category, is that right?
Yes. I did not see Beginners.
Okay.
I know Christopher Plummer is usually quite good, so.
Yeah, I don't think he's really ever done anything. He hasn't done anything bad. He's either great or good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are his two levels, and he's never won a Oscar, so this might be a
lifetime achievement sort of thing.
Might be, but you know, I'm okay with that. I think he's great. I thought Beginners was awesome. He was really good.
Okay. I'm not saying he didn't deserve to win. I'm just saying it looks like the field was a little
weak.
Lackluster. Yeah.
Possibly.
Jonah Hill didn't even have a character in Moneyball. Like, he was just a dude that listened to Brad Pitt and then made a fist at one point, and that was it. Like, that was the entirety of his character.
Oh, I completely disagree. I think he came up with the idea and Brad Pitt stole it, but he just stood there and said...
Well, no, I mean, in the story, yes, I'm saying, but as it was written, as what he had to do in the movie, there was not much.
Yes. No, I agree. I don't think it was any incredible, performance by any means.
Yeah.
Octavia Spencer, on the other hand, for actress in a supporting role, was fantastic.
She was very good. Both of the Help nominees were very good. I thought Jessica Chastain did a pretty good job as well.
Yeah, she was really good. She was really good. She was one of those villains that you just kind of love to hate, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's skill in having that ability too as an actor, to be somebody that you can like really understand but also like hate them. You know, and she can embody that. If you can actually like make an audience just hate you, it's impressive, you know, just like the opposite, where you can get somebody like Octavia Spencer who just makes you fall in love with her through her like really honest moments.
I think you're getting Jessica Chastain confused with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Oh, you're right. I am getting her confused with Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard was the huge bitch. Jessica Chastain was the Bucks.
They look very similar. They look very similar because they both have red hair outside of that film. But
that's true.
Jessica was blonde in that film.
Yes, she was.
She didn't have as much of a meaty part as Bryce Dallas Howard, though.
No, or as Spencer, either.
No. Yeah, right.
Anytime you do a real nice, sassy black woman, people tend to really enjoy that. So I don't have a problem with that.
You know, it's like everybody I think has their actors that they will confuse with another one. Jessica Chastain and Bryce Dallas Howard. I was thinking that the other day. I get them confused all the time. Mm-hmm. Everybody has. You've got to have some that you're like, oh, that guy, and he's just interchangeable.
Before I wasn't gonna make myself sound stupid, but since you're putting me on the spotlight here, in the previous category, for some odd reason, I thought the guy Max von Sydow was in fact Christopher Plummer. So
I'm just trying to say we're all human here. I made a mistake. Yeah. So, but yeah, totally. I could see that too. They're very similar looking.
Yeah, I IMDb'd Christopher Plummer. I was like, wait a minute, he's not in this movie? What's going on here? I was like, this is Max von Sydow. I've never even heard of this guy.
That's really funny.
But yeah, so apparently we're thinking alike, except
not the same one. Yeah, but thank you for clearing that up. Yes, that's a very good point. Yeah. I was not the wrong actress.
Anyone else do you think did a great job, maybe deserving of a deserving of the Oscar, and without Spencer there, perhaps? Or
I didn't see Albert Nobbs, so I don't know much about Janet McTeer. I don't know her work, and I haven't seen that performance, so it's hard for me to say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I think it was kind of hands down there.
All right. Yeah, I definitely agree. Let's see. We're not going to go through all of these just because that'd be ridiculous and incredibly boring. any other winners, maybe categories that really stood out to you this year?
As an overall thought, the overwhelming wins by Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
Seem to stand out as more of an industry statement by the voters rather than necessarily winning, you know, awarding it to the best films. Although I would say it was pretty technically impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking down the list here.
Yeah. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, no, this is clearly we've gone off script here.
What should we talk about now?
I have not seen A Separation. Have you seen it, and what did you think of it?
I have not seen A Separation. I've got to drive like 12 miles just to get to a theater that will show that, and I know 12 miles in doesn't sound like...
No, that's a whole day affair in Los Angeles.
That is about a three-hour drive.
You might need to get a hotel room.
Yeah. So I haven't made the trip out to see A Separation yet, but I am very anxious to see it. Just I've heard a lot of great things about the film.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly didn't watch the Oscars. I know you were telling me you didn't either. It was a very underwhelming year in terms of what was nominated and all the buzz around it, and even Billy Crystal. Like, it just didn't seem like it had any claws this year, you know?
Yeah, there was no real cachet to it or anything.
Right. The only thing that they could have really done to step up their game would have been to have like a really exciting host. Which they almost had, I thought, in
Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy, which could have been pretty good and made people watch, but I just thought it was a pretty weak year overall.
I agree. I would like to give out a shout-out, though, to the best original song in Man or Muppet from The Muppets, because that was just genius and hilarious for anyone that saw The Muppets. That was a good time. For me, at least. So,
I actually didn't see the Muppets, but I'm really excited to see the Muppets because I'm a big Muppet fan. Although I'm not expecting too much.
Well, I mean, it's just fun to see the Muppets up on screen again, and I'd have to say actually, the movie itself is probably at its best when they finally get the show going on again, the Muppet show going on again. So. I don't know, it's definitely worth a watch.
Aren't you excited to see Brett McKenzie up there claiming that statue?
Oh, definitely, of course.
I mean, you never thought that those guys, or I guess it never occurred to me that those guys would be for up there for Oscar contenders. But then again, I think the lyricists and the musicians that claim this always kind of catch me by surprise, kind of like 3-6 Mafia. 2004.
Yeah, or Trey Stone and Matt Parker there back for South Park, the movie. They were nominated at least, I believe.
Oh, yeah. That didn't even occur to me.
There you go. Anyway, I think we've beat this dead Oscar horse enough for one night. let's take a look ahead now at the sweet, sweet 2012 slate, specifically coming up this month, or this March, this is coming out, I guess, on Leap Day tomorrow, or the 29th.
John Carter!
Yes. That is probably... I mean, I know it's going to suck, but I'm really excited to see it.
How do you know, man? How do you know that?
I mean, I've heard a lot of bad stuff, and I feel as though it just looks like it's going to end up being bad.
Disney tells us that this is going to be the first blockbuster of the year. How can you deny them that?
Well, I mean, some people are saying this is a Star Wars for a new generation.
Yeah, I don't know. The effects in this movie just look absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna reserve judgment until I see them in the theater. But it looks like Pixar's first foray into live action might end up being their last. Unfortunately, because Pixar is very good with their animations. Also marks Andrew Stanton's live-action directorial debut, I believe, as well.
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
So that should be at least somewhat interesting to see if he can pull out the quality that we know him from Pixar. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely on the same page with you with this one. I'm not excited at all. It's cool to see Taylor Kitsch getting his big screen.
Tim Riggins.
Yeah, Tim Riggins up there from Friday Night Lights. But this doesn't seem like this is what's going to, throw him in the the spotlight. Although he does have Battleship coming out later this year
as
well. I think
this might end up being better than Battleship.
That's very possible.
But
very
I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not excited because I don't think it's going to be good, but I am really excited just because it looks ridiculous. And, I mean, half the cast of the HBO series Rome is in it, so that's always a big time. I was a huge Rome fan, so.
Yeah. How about? Did you see anything about Wanderlust?
I mean, I've seen the copious amounts of previews. That came out last week, I believe, correct?
Yeah, it actually came out over Oscar weekend, which is I don't think that's really typical. They usually don't have movies coming out because people are usually, you know, focused on who's going to win the Oscar. You're not focusing on going to see the new movies. You're focusing on going to see the nominated movies.
Exactly.
But Wanderlust is David Wayne, who we all know from Wet Hot American Summer. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you have to go out and watch that movie because it is fantastic.
It is quite hilarious.
Or get on Wayne Days, his YouTube show, which is very, very funny, I think. I'm a big David Wayne fan, and I'm excited.
I don't know if White Hot American Summer, it used to be on Netflix streaming. I don't know if it still is. But, yeah, you should definitely see that if you haven't. At first, like the first trailer, I was like, oh, this looks awful. But then, for some odd reason, like, with each subsequent trailer, I was like, oh, yeah. And then, this looks like it could be hilarious. So, I don't know.
Well, if you know anything about David Wayne's mentality, you can tell that he's really into ridiculous humor and just kind of off-the-cuff, side-swiping moments that are... They always catch you by surprise, and there's always a wink at the audience, and it's... maybe a little bit too brash sometimes, but it can be really, really funny.
Yeah, I think, I don't know if I'll end up going to see that in the theater, but I'll definitely end up hitting up the red box at like 1 o'clock in the morning when it comes out.
It might be, that might be a good place for it.
Yeah. Coming out this Friday, we've got two movies that have been getting a lot of commercials lately with The Lorax and Project X. And I have to say, I wish they would stop making movies out of Dr. Seuss books.
I thought you were about to say I wish they would stop making handheld faux documentary style movies.
Well, I was going to get there, but The Lorax just appeared first on my screen, so that's why I decided to go there first. Aside from the original 1960s version of The Grinch That Stole Christmas, I'm pretty sure not a single Dr. Seuss movie or book that was made into a movie has been good since. So,
it's a recognizable name. It'll get people in the seats. It's cash cow for them, you know, for the studios. I can't disagree with you.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Project X. The main problem I have with a movie like Project X, I realize that it's supposed to be just out of this world ridiculous, but the fact that there's no way a party like that could ever happen.
Oh, who cares, man?
I just can't turn my brain off. I can't suspend my disbelief enough. I'm just like, come on. This is ridiculous.
I sort of hear you there. It sounds like something that it's going to, like, I mean, we're only speculating at this point, but it seems like it's going to be a movie that's going to escalate to that moment, and by that time you've already been inducted into that world that they're showing you.
Maybe.
But then again, that's speculation. My issue with this film is I think it looks like it could be a lot of fun, and I'm actually excited for it.
Oh.
But I am tired of this handheld camera documentary look. Yeah, I mean, I think it's been done the best that it can be done. Everybody else is just kind of copying what's come before, and they're not adding anything to it. So maybe Project X will add something to it, but I'm getting really tired as a viewer of this style.
Yeah, I usually, I don't know. It's kind of disappointing to me as well, the style at least.
Well, did you see Chronicle?
No. Come on now.
I did see Chronicle. And it's one of those movies that the idea is fine, you know, it's fun enough, and the trailers look fun. You know, kids that get abilities or whatever, and that's great. But the style of the movie was more distracting than it was helping the film.
Yeah, I mean, I feel as though if...
complimenting.
If that sort of style is... If that sort of style almost needs to be almost like a character, if you will, in the movie. Like, you need to have a reason to film it like that. And if you don't have a reason to film it like that, then you should just film it normally.
Well, I'm going to say something that hopefully won't be too much of a spoiler. It's not. It's technical. Anyway, I'm just going to throw it out there, but there it is. The spoiler alert for a very, very small section of Chronicle.
Oh, no.
The technical aspects of the film ended up becoming a crutch and actually like a problem and hindrance to the story itself. Mm-hmm. There is, because the whole thing is supposed to be edited between cameras that are actually in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you can only intercut with people when there's a security camera up somewhere or somebody else is holding a camera, which did happen in the film. There are two characters looking at each other holding cameras that but you know what? Fine. I can handle that. That I can deal with. But at the climax, two characters are floating up next to a space needle, 200 feet in the air, or however high that is, 700 feet, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And they get through their powers, they get a whole bunch of phones and cameras and laptops in a bubble around them. I won't tell you how that happens, because the fact that it happens is just ridiculous. And they are literally floating above the Earth with a bubble of video recording devices around them so that the editor can legally, in that world, edit between them. And it is just absolutely absurd.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
So that just called too much attention to what they were trying to do. Yeah, it didn't make sense for the story. And they would have done a lot better to just get away from that whole style and just let us believe in what was going on.
Yeah, that style as well allows you to have lots of crazy stuff going on off screen so that you don't have to pay for a bunch of special effects. So that might be yet another reason.
Yeah, there are plenty of reasons, I'm sure.
In any case, I think we've discussed Chronicle for far too long.
I know, you're right. It's my fault.
Let's move along here. Are there any other March movies maybe getting a lot of buzz out in L.A. and or that you're excited to see?
Well, 21 Jump Street's getting a lot of buzz out there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have any feelings on that one.
I hate Jonah Hill, so I will not see that movie.
But I do know that Channing Tatum is one of your favorite strippers.
Well, the reason I don't have my webcam on right now is because my walls are plastered with Channing Tatum magazine.
Yes, it's a little known fact about the Bagman.
I mean, he's just so dreamy.
I'll send some Channing Tatum. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the reason why this film is getting so much attention is just because of the name and the history of the story, you know?
Mm-hmm. Remake factor and such.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to be anything great. In fact, it looks like something that's going to be made and then forgotten when the next big remake shows up.
How about the new Will Ferrell movie?
Yes.
Casa de mi Padre.
It's got a great cast.
It's true.
It's a great cast. It'll be interesting to see Will Ferrell speaking in Spanish.
Yep. Is this going to be like a... Do you think it's going to be a knockdown, drag-out sort of comedy, or do you think it's going to be more of a nuanced sort of, this is ridiculous, Will Ferrell is speaking in Spanish to me for 2 hours sort of thing?
Or
do you even just think it's just going to be like a normal movie, maybe?
No, I don't. This one takes me by surprise. I think they're trying to do something... What that is, I'm not exactly sure.
Okay. I have to say that I didn't even know this movie existed until I went to go see Safe House a month ago, and it was one of the trailers. I was like, "What the hell is going on here?"
That was one of the trailers?
Yes.
Because the audiences must be the same.
Apparently.
Well, they do have guns in Casa de mi Padre.
Well, there are a lot of Mexicans in Texas, so.
What does that have to do with Safe House?
I don't know. In any case...
Come on.
You know I have to throw in a little racism in every podcast. Come on, Jim.
Uncalled for, sir. Uncalled for.
Perhaps the biggest movie coming out this month. I mean, it's got to be Hunger Games, right?
Hunger Games is what I was going to say.
Have you read the books? I have not.
I have read the books. The story is a lot of fun. I think the idea of... Do you have any idea of what the story is or what it's about?
I mean, it sounds like a lottery-esque sort of thing where they pit a bunch of kids together because someone blew some shit up and all this nonsense. Yeah, I mean, I get the general. Sure. I know what's going on.
I asked you to explain it. If I could just tell you, it's this oppressive government that takes 26 kids from around the country. There's from each section of the country to fight against each other in this televised battle.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, battle royale done for American audiences.
Yeah, science fiction battle royale, basically.
Yeah, and battle royale I thought was a great, great story. I love that movie. It's a lot of fun.
Battle royale is awesome.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, it is.
So when I heard about Hunger Games, naturally, I got very excited. So I read the book, and I don't like it.
You don't like the book, or you don't like the idea of the movie?
I'm okay with the idea of the movie.
Sort of inevitable.
Story. The story of the book is okay. It's kind of Twilight done a little harder. The writing is not very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's teen fiction. Isn't that usually what it's billed as?
You know what? That's fair. It is teen fiction, and maybe I just am learning something about myself that it's not meant for me.
My little Jakey's finally growing up.
But Hunger Games, I don't know. The book is really tough to read, and by that I mean it's a very easy read. You'll get through it in a day, but it's really poorly written, okay, technically, I thought. That doesn't mean that the movie won't be good. I don't know. But okay, the movie itself, I don't think the effects or the art direction in it looks really believable.
Uh-oh.
It looks kind of cheap from what I've seen.
Uh-oh.
But they haven't shown too much.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really know.
Before we move on, I would like to ask how you feel. I mean, since you've read the books, how do you feel about the casting of Jennifer Lawrence as the main girl?
Oh, I did not actually read all of the books. I read the first one.
Okay, well, how do you feel since this is the first one?
And then I knew to stop reading.
Okay.
I don't have any strong feelings about Jennifer Lawrence at all.
She's got sort of a Ryan Gosling thing going where, like, she makes one facial expression regardless of what's going on.
Under subtleties.
Sure, if that's what you want to call it. But yeah, I don't know. It depends. I might end up going to see this. I don't know. It really depends. It seems like it's one of those movies where either you're a big fan or you have a bunch of friends that are big fans, so you'll end up going to see it. Otherwise, you know, you might rent it or something later on.
You have to go and see it. Now you're the voice of a film generation.
Okay. Maybe.
You have to have your opinion.
Well, maybe I'll go during the $6 Tuesday night movie.
Fair enough. Until you start getting those free screeners that are going to be just piling up on you, right?
I can't wait, which isn't going to happen.
But let's say, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence, in her films, I guess, like Crazy, she has some hard acting to do. And Winter's Bone, too. I haven't seen either of those.
Look, Winter's Bone, she looks exactly the same for all 2 hours. I hate Winter's Bone so much. I'm not even going to get into it. Fucking Winter's Bone. Let's move on. We only got one more weekend here. Perhaps maybe, I don't know, not the best weekend, but the movie I'm most excited to see in March, besides maybe John Carter, would be Wrath of the Titan. No, Goon with Sean William Scott.
Really?
Yeah. I mean... It seems like it could be hilarious to me.
I I am not a Sean William Scott fan.
I mean, anything that involves comedy and hockey fights is going to be a good time for me, I think. So, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about this.
I think the hockey sports, or sorry, the sport comedy films have gone downhill. I think the bar is just very, very low right now, and to have somebody like Sean William Scott being the headliner for it doesn't instill a lot of confidence in myself.
No,
so
it doesn't.
I don't think I will be seeing this one.
Okay.
But if it comes out and I hear all this great buzz going around it, maybe
I know you're not going to hear a lot of great buzz, but I think it'll be at least entertaining. I hope so.
I would recommend you not throw your dollars at that one, but by all means.
Okay. The other ones, we've got a Snow White reboot.
Mirror, Mirror.
Yeah, another Tarsem Singh.
Tarsem Singh. Tarsem Singh. We know a lot about Tarsem Singh, don't we?
Yes.
Well, I mean, after The Fall and The Cell, and most recently...
Immortals.
The Immortals. He makes very beautiful-looking films, but he's a very visual director.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly visual. His movies usually suck. but it's really,
not to
really
be
good. I actually kind of liked The Fall myself. You know, it ended up being a little slow and a little bogged down, but I don't know. Yeah, he at the very least, when you go see a Tarsem Singh movie, you know, you're gonna get at least some pretty nice visuals out of it. So,
and The Fall is definitely his most complete film to date, I would say.
I mean, he's only got four, so yes, I would have to agree.
But that's because he started as a commercial director, and he makes these very impressive films. They're very impressive looking films. He traveled all across the world to make that film.
Yeah.
That's why he has all these great locations, but his shortcomings tend to be the acting and story side.
Yeah.
This film is going to be his second with Relativity Media, which is a very big company out here. And, you know, maybe under the tutelage of a very big producer, he might being forced to make something that's really great all around. So
I watched the trailer before we got on. You know, it looks all right. It doesn't look great.
I think it's going to be a simple childish movie that is going to be akin to something like Tangled, but probably not as good.
Let's just call it what it is. It's a reimagining of a classic fairy tale.
That's what it is. We're speculative. This is what we're doing.
Exactly.
We're speculating.
And last, but certainly not least, I don't know how this movie...
Sorry. Go ahead.
...was ever green-lighted in the first place. I didn't realize the first one made so much money that they needed a sequel.
I know where this is going.
But we've got Wrath of the Titans.
Oh, see, we're not on the same page today.
Where
I have another
think
one.
I was going.
Well, we could talk about Wrath of the Titans, but I was thinking Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just pretending that wasn't even made.
well, I guess that one already came out, didn't
it? Yeah, I saw the original Ghost Rider.
No. I did as well.
No.
Against my better judgment.
Anyway, Wrath of the Titans, why is this movie being made?
The first one made money.
It did? Did it actually make, like, good money?
I don't know. I'm just assuming. I have no basis for that information.
Oh, God.
I will say this. Mm-hmm. As a testament to how bad the first movie was, I normally don't turn off films, and I was watching Clash of the Titans on a 14-hour flight.
Oh, no.
And I turned it off. 5 times.
Yahtzee.
I kept turning it back on because I was so bored in my 14-hour flight, and then I couldn't make it all the way through.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I pulled one of the same things too, whereas it was on HBO all the time, so I'd watch like the first 30 minutes, be like, oh my god, I need to turn this off. Then in like 5 days, it'd be on HBO again, and I'd wait until about 30 minutes in, and I'd be like, okay, I'm in it now. Uh-oh, here comes some really bad-looking scorpions. I think I'm done after this scene sort of thing. So definitely took me a couple viewings to get through Clash of the Titans. But
yeah, I don't know. I think really what we've got to look forward to now is maybe something entertaining in the Hunger Games, possibly. And other than that, we just have to stick with the indies that are going to be coming out. And Jeff Lives at Home with the Jason Segel, Ed Helms comedy coming out, and also Detachment, which is the Adrian Brody indie drama mm-hmm. about the substitute teacher. Those are the ones I think that are probably going to have more bite to them than any of the, like, the
They'll
big...
They'll have more quality.
Yeah, than like the John Carter or the Hunger Games or, you know, the Wrath of the Titans. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see. I am very worried about the rest of this, the next month.
Well, I mean, at least we have some things kind of to look forward to in the summer, which we'll discuss on a different podcast. Maybe a couple of movies at least, unlike last summer.
This is month three, people. Come on, we got to start making good movies this year, because last year, come on.
Yeah, I don't have much faith. In any case, I think that's going to do it with the podcast, with this edition of the podcast.
No one's listening anymore. We have effectively bored all of our listeners.
Believe me, if I've got many, many more boring podcasts than this one, so hopefully more people will end up listening.
Tune in next time when Chris talks to himself for an entire hour.
Those are the most interesting ones, I'm telling you, buddy.
Mom comes in and tells you, Chris, what are you doing?
Jake, we all know I don't live at home, come on.
Okay, anyway, finish up.
Anyway, hopefully we'll make this into a more monthly sort of thing with Jake at least. Maybe talk some more trailers, go into depth some more trailers and anything. But, yeah, other than that, just check out the website, in-the-bagwith2gs.com, for all sorts of awesome updates during the week, and we'll come at you later.